ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Damascus is one of the oldest lasting cities that's ever been around, but it needs to be destroyed. Syria, if we go back, if they launch missiles into Israel, and they can, who knows what they have from Russia, Damascus is done. And again, think about this. Russia's flexing their muscle. Why? Because who's going to stop them now? There's no one in office that's going to do it. And Putin understands that. And because of that, he's got 92,000 soldiers of the Red Army with tanks and other military machinery on the border with the Ukraine. He wants the Ukraine back. And they're preparing, positioning themselves for a battle. Is it going to happen? I don't know. In a report, it says the Kremlin is preparing for an attack by the end of January, beginning of February. Wow. Can you imagine them getting involved in that war? Putin is definitely watching how Iran is getting closer and closer to developing nuclear weapons. And what's the purpose of them developing nuclear weapons? Why does Iran want to develop nuclear weapons? There's only one reason: to destroy Israel and every Jew living in Israel. That's their goal. Now, believe me, most of the people in Iran don't want to be bothered with that. They are not against Israel. But the government, the religious leaders, are very much opposed to destroying Israel. Israel knows they have to take out these nuclear facilities. They've done it in the past. When President Obama was in office, Israel sent a virus into their computer system, working with the centrifuges, developing this stuff, and destroyed it. And President Obama said Israel did this, gave them up. So I don't think Israel's going to tell us what they're going to do anymore. But listen to how they're preparing, because they understand Iran's going to strike them. They know it's a matter of time, that once they get a nuclear weapon, it's coming into Israel. Israeli Defense Minister Gantz: Israel is ready to strike Iran. That was from August 7th. Why Israel is stepping up its planning and its rhetoric for a strike on Iran. That was October 1st. Israel approves $1.5 billion for Iran's strike plan. That was October 19th. Lukud M. Key: Israel must strike Iran by year's end if there's no new deal. This one, Hangbi, says opposition party will give full backing if government decides to attack Tehran's nuclear program. Wow. That is, again, October 31st. Israel has military capability to strike Iran, an ex-IDF intel chief, November 5th. Iran nuclear program, threat of Israel strike grows, BBC, November 23rd. Ex-Mossad chief says Israel strikes on Iran nuclear sites must be on the table. That was November 26th. So this isn't just idle talk. They are very serious, and they want Iran to understand that, even though I don't think Iran cares. If Iran could destroy the nation of Israel, they don't care how many of their people die, because they want to get rid of the Jews. That's how much hatred they have. And that's why, you know, this is satanic. Why do they hate them? Israel's not even bothering them, because they're in existence. They're Jews. They are of the God. They worship the God, the only true God. And so wiping out Israel is wiping out their God. That's what they think. It's not going to happen. Yossi Cohen, the former Mossad chief, said last week, independent strikes on nuclear sites if Iran takes this path that endangers our existence should and must be on the table. Wow. Yakov Amador, Israel's former national security advisor, went even further. Israel cannot live with a situation in which the Iranians are getting closer and closer to the bomb, and it will soon have to make a decision how to stop it. I don't see any other way but to bomb Iran's facilities, because I don't see the Iranians retreating from their dream of having a nuclear umbrella under which they can be even more aggressive than they are today. Yeah, that's how bad this is. That's how close it is. They are preparing for war. At a security conference in Herzliya last week, Amador said bluntly and publicly what many senior Israeli officials are saying privately. The world won't lift a finger to stop Iran from getting nuclear warheads. The Americans won't carry out a single mission. I don't know how true. And you know, that's what the Bible does say, that no one will lift a finger to help Israel. But God is going to win this battle for them. So what God has said in his word is coming to pass before our very eyes. How close is Iran to having a bomb? This is what we're told. Many diplomats and nuclear experts say the starting point of 1 year is conservative, and Iran would need longer. David Albright, a former UN weapons inspector who tends to have a hawkish position on Iran, estimated in November that Iran's breakout time could be as short as 3.5 months, although this presumes Iran would use 1,000 advanced centrifuges that were removed under the deal. Well, I don't think they really care about the deal that was made. They're going ahead with what they want to do. They violated all the guidelines that have been put out, and no one's really doing anything about it. Please understand, this is not just some Christians speculating about a war. I'm speculating. World leaders are concerned about it coming to pass if Iran gets nuclear weapons. The Jerusalem Post warns us of what is being said by leaders in Iran. Lofta Deskam, the representative from the Islamic Republic of Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, in Fars province, urged the elimination of Israel in a Friday sermon in the city of Shiraz. The Islamic clerical firebrand declared, the global arrogance led by America with complicity of Israel seeks to delay the realization of an important issue, which is the destruction of the Zionist regime. Kayan Melli, a news outlet opposed to the Islamic Republic of Iran, quoted his remarks. Three regime-controlled news organizations, Islamic Republic News Agency, Fars News, and SAM, reported on his speech. The spokesperson for the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces, Brigadier General Al-Fazi Shekarichi, recently called for the total elimination of the Jewish state. This is what he said. We will not back off from the annihilation of Israel, even one millimeter. We want to destroy Zionism in the world, not just in Israel, but in the world. And we've heard about, you know, this hatred before, the destruction of Israel. It's out there. Iran has not had the ability to do anything, but they're getting closer. And I think we're getting very close to this war. Pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East, because it's getting really close to this war breaking out. Can God intervene? Yeah, he can. And it could be years down the road. But when you look at what everything's happening and you listen to what Iran's saying and what they're working on developing this nuclear warhead, it could get could happen very, very soon. So keep your eyes on the Middle East. So what does this all mean to us? That's kind of the most important thing. What does this all mean to us as Christians? And many say, well, you know, we're not going to be here for the tribulation period, so why is this even relevant for us? And I think that's probably a problem for a lot of Christians. They're not interested in prophecy and what's coming. When things get tough, they're going to be completely caught off guard. You know, here's the thing for a lot of Christians today. Man, I hope the rapture happens and we could get out of here right away. Well, I do too, but the reality is I think we're going to endure some heavy, difficult times, maybe persecution. That's pretty difficult. We need to be ready for what's coming. We need to understand what may be coming our way. Why? So we could shine for Jesus. I mean, that's really the bottom line, guys. It's all about our witness of Jesus. What if they come after us? What if they kill us? Well, I'm home with Jesus. I mean, I didn't lose a thing. So I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about are all those people out there that don't know Jesus. And they're really getting hostile towards Christians and towards Jesus. And so we need to be different than them. And they need to see our love and our compassion. God has told us, he warned us, take heed that no one deceives you. You know, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. This is speaking of the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. We're not going to be around for that period of time. So why is this important to us? Because Jesus says that this is like a woman in labor. And early on in the labor pains, they're kind of far apart and not as strong. But I'll tell you something. You know, working in the medical field, when a woman can have Braxton Hicks contractions, pre-labor pains. I think that's what we're seeing right now. These pre-labor pains preparing for the labor that's coming. Yeah, we won't be here for the labor, for the tribulation period, but hey, these are the pre-labor pains, and we're starting to see some of these things happening. And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. Isn't it interesting what's going on today? Deception is huge, right? Fake news, real news, truth, error. How do you even know? It's very hard to decipher what is true and what is not. I've told people before, you take your position, whatever you want, and I'll take my position. Well, I'll find the truth I want to believe on the internet, Facebook. I could find all the answers to support what I want to believe against what you want to believe. And you could do the same. So what's true? The Bible. I'm sorry. That's the only truth I know. With 100% accuracy. Can I be fooled? Something being true and I don't see it. It could be. But I could also be fooled into believing something is true that it's not. So I have to be very careful. Take heed. Pay attention. Don't be deceived. The word, Greek word for deceived that Jesus used is plano. It speaks of going astray or wandering off course. We get our English word planet from, interestingly enough. Their thought back in those days was that they kind of wandered like stars. They seemed to be going nowhere, no direction, as they wander through the sky. Now we know differently. But Jesus is saying, pay attention, be on guard, because these things are going to happen. And those who claim to be of God and are not are going to lead you astray. You got to watch out. You're going to wander from the truths of God. So much deception today. And again, if you want to confuse people, you want to make them fight against each other, fill social media with the truth and with error. Just fill it with truth and error. People will fight. I've seen it in churches. I've seen Christians say, I'm sorry, you can't come over for Christmas because you haven't been vaccinated. I'm like, really? What's wrong with you? If you want to be vaccinated, praise God. If you don't want to be vaccinated, praise God. I don't care. Why is this even an issue? But it is. And people will fight and they'll spend hours talking about it. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, really, when the flu was around, I didn't spend time talking about the flu because I could care less. You know what COVID is? The flu. Okay? It's just another type of flu. So same thing. So it's interesting. I want to bring this up. Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. The Greek word for many is polos, and it speaks of a great number, like millions and millions of people, not just a select few. When you look at the teachings of New Agers, of health, wealth, and prosperity teachers, and others, they're falling prey to this idea thinking they're God. That's what Jesus is saying. In fact, Luke 21:8 says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them." The he is in italics. It was added there for clarity. It doesn't belong there. You know what this verse says? Many shall come saying, "I am." In other words, I'm God. That's the mentality that's growing so much today. M. Scott Peck, a psychologist, wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, read by many, many Christians and New Age followers as well. And this is what he says. God wants us to become himself or herself or itself. We are growing toward godhood. God is the goal of evolution. I don't know about you, but if I have to grow towards godhood, then I'm really not God, right? Do I have to try harder? Maybe get my ACTs up? I don't know. That's ridiculous. And yet Christians read the book, thought it was great. Matthew Fox tells us, we need to become aware of the cosmic Christ, which means recognizing that every being has within it the light of Christ. Everyone is born a mystic and a lover who experienced the unity of things, and all are called to keep this mystic or love of life alive. That's just crazy. Cosmic Christ, are you kidding me? M. Basil Pennington, when we go to the center of our being and pass through the center into the very center of God, we get in immediate touch with this divine creating energy, that the divine energy may have the freedom to forward the evolution of consciousness in us and through us as part of the whole in the whole of creation. Again, are you kidding? Why are people listening to that? Henry Nouwen, the God who dwells in our inner sanctuary of soul, of the soul, a holy place, a divine center. Richard Foster in his book Celebration of Discipline. Even people who have yet to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ can and should practice them, spiritual disciplines. So it doesn't matter, you know, the things he's teaching. You don't have to be a Christian to practice them. You could do it because it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. Abba's Child by Brannon Manning. If I find Christ, I will find my true self, and if I find my true self, I will find Christ. Again, these are read by Christians, and they're saying, these people are saying we're Christ. It's a New Age teaching that's been incorporated into the church. Very sad. I think that, you know, as you look at all these things that are going on, and I'm going to skip a few things here, I think it's important that we understand what God desires of us as we're living. It's a battle out there. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." What do we see today? What is the key factor of people? They love themselves. And it's manifested how? They become lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The key is lovers of themselves. And out of that self-love, we see all these things manifest. And the love of many has grown cold because of it. Why do you think they can, during all those riots and stuff, why do you think they could destroy buildings and destroy people's lives? Why could they do it? Because it was all about them. Do you really think they cared about anyone else when they were doing it? No. And we have turned our backs on God in this nation. And we're seeing the ramifications of that today. We're told, what in the world has happened to the United States? What a dysfunctional mess. While several factors have contributed to our country's chaotic state, one that stands out above the rest is our culture losing its moral and ethical roots. According to a Gallup poll conducted in May 2018, 49% of Americans say the state of moral values in the U.S. is poor. Meanwhile, 37% of U.S. adults say moral values are only fair, and 14% say they are excellent or good. Well, here we are in 2021. I think it's a lot worse. I think people think our morals are worse. I hope they do, because they are. I think we are behaving a lot like Rome. We're rotting from the inside. That's what brought down Rome. Listen to, again, if George Washington was running for office today, he would never get elected. I don't think he'd be nominated to run for the office. But listen what he said in his farewell address. He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." Absolutely. And specifically, when he was speaking of religion, he was speaking of Christianity. It doesn't happen. Ronald Reagan forewarned. "Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. And without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Look at what's happening today. Those were very powerful and wise words and true. For us as Christians, we're passing through, guys. This is not our home. And we have to have that mentality, because if we don't, then we're going to be devastated by all these things. But this is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. Praise God for that. I wasn't going to add this, but I'll have to pick on Angie because she sent this to me. So if we're here longer, it's Angie's fault, not mine. No, I'm just kidding. I really appreciate people sending me things like this. This kind of ties into that one world government thing. This has now been set up right outside the UN headquarters in New York City, this statue. Now, let me tell you what this statue is for, okay? Tell me if this is how you feel. This statue is called the Guardian of International Peace and Security. How many of you feel peace and security looking at that thing? Not me, man. Look at that thing. It's horrible. Look at it. Yeah. This is like the beast out of Daniel, right? I find that fascinating. Because that's global government. That's their peace and security, guys. We're in control. And you better be afraid and you better follow us. I have no idea why they would make an image like this, but they did. And it's supposed to be for international peace and security. Go figure. You scratch your head, you go, "Guys, did you read the Bible?" And say, "Well, we've got to come up with an image like this, and we'll put it outside the UN. That's how crazy it is. We are moving towards a one-world government, a one-world religion, and the technology we see going on, I think the image of the beast is going to be some kind of artificial intelligence, some way, because it's going to monitor all those who are buying and selling. He's going to have control. No human being obviously can do that, but artificial intelligence can, and I believe will. We see this war looming in the Middle East, a war that Russia and its Muslim allies are going to come down to destroy Israel, and they'll be destroyed. God will take care of that. As Christians, guys, we should be one of the most excited people around, because we're looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will he come in my lifetime? I believe so, but if not, I go home to be with the Lord. But I'm preparing. Paul was preparing, hey, in his day, for the Lord to come back. Here we are some 2,000 years later. We should be preparing as well. Be excited every day. Could be today. I wonder who God's going to bring across my path that I can share with, right? Maybe today. Maybe today, Lord. I'm so excited for that. But I'm also excited about the days we're living in, because I think there's a lot of people that are wondering what in the world is going on. And we could say, let me tell you, and point them to Jesus. I think it's very soon, but we need to occupy until he comes, guys. We need to continue doing the work that God has called us to do until he comes. I can't wait. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for everyone here and those listening on the radio, the internet, who took the time off on New Year's Eve to gather together to worship you and hear what's going on and with Bible prophecy. I think it's so important that we're aware of these things. Lord, bless us in this coming year. Help us to grow stronger in you and be a bold witness of you to this world. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.